like, you know, we're getting down and dirty. Some serious conversation. But we like to have a little bit of fun, too. And so we're very excited to bring our next guest. And we're very pleased and humbled to be joined by Ed Orcutt, the Brook Park mayor, who you're going to hear a lot about the town of Brook Park. You're going to hear a lot about the Cleveland Browns because of Cleveland and Mayor Bibb's announcement yesterday. Mayor, thank you for coming out. We appreciate you doing this on short notice.
Good morning.
So I want to get right to it. Let's use a corny football analogy. The Browns dome proposal in Brook Park is at what yard line right now?
We're at the 50-yard line.
Okay. Some people, the way they're talking about it, would make it seem as if we're on the 5-yard line and about to pounce in for the score. So we'll set that aside. Why? What needs to be done at this point? When you saw that announcement yesterday, I'm sure it didn't surprise you. You've been behind the scenes, probably in these discussions. Why is it only at the 50? Where do we need to go from here?
We still have to bring people to the table to at least sit down to make this a reality. I believe that the county executive has to be a part of this. You know, this is a team effort. It's a regional effort. This is something that's not just where the mayor of Brook Park goes to the negotiation table and says, hey, let's build a dome stadium here. This is going to be an impacted project for the region. Strongsville, City of Cleveland, Middleburg Heights, North Olmsted. This is something that we need to sit down, and definitely the county executive has to be a part of this. It's a must.
Mayor Ed Orcutt joining us here, Brook Park Mayor. So have you heard anything from the county executive about meeting with you and making this a combined effort?
We have talked. We will continue to talk. Chris and I work very well together, and I look forward to our next meeting.
Well, Chris yesterday once again reiterated, we're talking about Chris Ronayne, the Cuyahoga County executive. He said yesterday in a statement that he still thinks the best plan of attack would be to renovate the stadium downtown. Clearly, that's not exactly what the Haslams want to do. And clearly, this is not something that seems functional for all parties involved. So when he says something like that, does it make it seem like this is going to be a little more difficult than what I think a lot of people took away from the conversation yesterday?
Well, you know, in politics, you know, sometimes we have differences of opinion, or even if you're just having a conversation over an adult beverage, hanging out and watching some sports. But the way that I look at this project, I believe it's something that will build a destination here in Cleveland. So we've heard that it may not work for downtown because of retail. Well, what I'd like to see is show us those impact studies. Let's see why it won't work and what can we do to generate the cash for downtown to be able to build a dome down there. And I think the dome's important because now you're not talking about maybe 10 to 14 different events every year. You know, we're talking about the possibility of a Super Bowl being here. The impact of that financially for this county would be unbelievable. It'd be fantastic. But as we continue to move forward and have these discussions, all we do know is that there was a proposed dome to be built possibly at Burke Lakefront Airport. Whether that can be physically done or not with what's there at that, you know, at that site, we don't know that. And then obviously when you're working with the federal government and FAA and you think about, well, how long will this take? That might take 10 years. And is that something that is practical that we can, you know, start, you know, working on now and then have something, you know, in 10 years from there? I don't know. But I certainly know that as the mayor of Brook Park, we have 175.8 acres that are sitting empty here in Brook Park that need to be developed. And as you know, as much as I'd like to be a regional partner and see the Cleveland Browns stay downtown, which, you know, being a fan, it's probably my first option. And I've said that from the beginning. But, you know, the more and more I learn about things behind the scenes, it becomes more of a reality that Brook Park is the best location for the Cleveland Browns and a dome.
Brook Park Mayor Ed Orcutt joining us here on the show. Okay, going back to what the mayor of... No, wait a minute. You said up to 10 years? Because it seems that their lease is up after the 2028 season, so this would have to get going here pretty soon, especially with all the ingress and egress that we always like to talk about on the show, Mayor.
It was just a hypothetical timeline for development.
Okay. What did you make out of the Mayor Bibb's comments yesterday during his press conference? What were your feelings?
You know, he's a mayor that's obviously, you know, fighting for the Browns to stay downtown, and I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, when you say fighting, this is just my opinion. I don't know that we truly know how the mayor really, really feels, but the way they presented it over time, it seems like the Browns have been nothing but a hassle to them. Having the Browns, you just alluded to how few dates there are, how understaffed they are, and then what they have to do on game days to be able to facilitate that, and all that comes with having the Browns with the nuisance of the amount of people that pass through a town on a Sunday. I guess I'll pivot and then ask you at the same time, is it something that you feel Brook Park will eventually be able to handle?
Well, let's first go back and look at what Mayor Bibb inherited. The stadium having tens of millions of dollars in repairs certainly is not his fault. It's something that he inherited. Is it Mayor White's fault? Not at all. You know, when the Browns left for Baltimore and we had that sense of urgency of getting that team back, Mayor White was a champion for this community and in this region. He did a great job. And obviously there was tight timelines where we had to put this stadium together, and now let's fast forward 25 years later. We have new ownership. We have a new mayor. He inherited this issue. This isn't something that they've been talking about just over the last year and a half. This is something the Cleveland Browns have been trying to have discussions for since, from what I understand, 2017. So to back up to answer your question, we have to keep that in mind of what happened in the past. Let's not make those same mistakes, and let's make sure that we have a plan that this dome stadium just doesn't last 30 years, but it can last 50, 60 years, just like they have in New Orleans, that the Superdome has been around there since 1976, I believe. So we have to set ourselves up for success. And to do that, we have to plan. We have to get to work every single morning, roll up our sleeves, and make sure we think of every single scenario that will make sure that this will be a successful project and we'll have that long-term sustainability.
Mayor Ed Orcutt joining us here on the show. What are the plans that you might have for infrastructure when it comes to police, security, paramedics, all the stuff with parking? Has that already been laid out with you, the county, and the state?
That's a great question. So we've gone down to the Brown Stadium where we're down there on September 8th prior to the game. We were able to see the operations, get in the command room, see how the day-to-day operations work. And from what we saw and what we learned, that there is, you know, police officers from around the region that go down there and are security for that event. We also have learned and seen the statistics that, you know, you think that there's probably a lot of crime, and there isn't. You think that maybe there's a lot of hospital ambulance runs, there isn't. So we've learned that, you know, maybe some of these things that you just would think, hey, with the Browns game, with alcohol, you know, there's tons of people getting arrested, and a lot of people going to hospital. Those things just aren't true. But what we do know is that we would have to have memorandum of understandings with, you know, other surrounding communities, with other unions, and making sure that the Browns would be able to supply the proper security during the game and from the curb inside, meaning all of the parking lot, all of the stadium, that area there. Outside of the curb, Brook Park would then have to be able to afford and make sure that they had enough people for traffic control. So from increasing our police station to possibly making a different division for traffic control, those things are already moving in place, and we're trying to price those out so that we have a definitive cost for the operations for 1920 major events a year.
Brook Park Mayor Ed Orcutt joining us on the hotline. Something we didn't hear about yesterday was financing. I'm curious, do you think the taxpayers of Cuyahoga County should get a seat at the table at some point, because they have not been involved really in any of the meetings? And then I would also add, do you share a responsibility in making sure that the taxpayers of Cuyahoga County get a good deal here?
Absolutely. We're regional partners. So when you get to learn a little bit more about who's going to the games, you're finding out the statistics show that about 70% of the fans are coming from outside of Cuyahoga County. So since day one, where's this money going to come from to pay for the public side of the responsibilities of the finances? Admissions tax, parking tax. We're talking about selling merchandise, jerseys, pretzels, you know, food, pot, beer, there's 8% sales tax. Those taxes are what would be utilized to be able to pay for the public side responsibility for building this dome.
All right, there's a new stadium proposal that's been submitted in Buffalo, and with that, there's going to be pretty expensive PSLs. We are talking about tens of thousands of dollars on some of these seats, some of them all the way up to $60,000. How much have the Browns gone into detail with you about how affordable being able to go to a Cleveland Browns game or any event is going to be? You just mentioned all the taxes that are going to be a part of that experience.
For many years now, to be able to go to any NFL game, it's been very, very expensive. I've actually gone up to Buffalo and went to see games up there. Buffalo, New York has always been extremely expensive to go see a game. I think that what they're doing to the fans over there is nothing like what would be happening here in Cleveland or in Brook Park. That experience, I think, is going to be completely different. I've met with the mayor of Orchard Park. We've discussed some of the finances, and it's much different than what we have in front of us here in Brook Park.
Mayor Ed Orcutt joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Now, I asked you this back, I believe, in May. Let me ask you it again. No chance for a land swap at all like they did with the airport years ago. That is not a possibility between you, your city and the city of Cleveland?
That has not come up whatsoever. I do have to commend the Cleveland City Council president. Last night I seen him on the news, and it made a lot of sense that, you know, we do need to sit down, even the city of Cleveland and the city of Brook Park, to see how we can make other things happen. You know, can we utilize the project in Brook Park to be able to redevelop the lakefront? I thought what he talked about on the news last night, just fantastic information. When I heard that, I thought, you know what, this could turn out to be two great projects, not just one great project where we're going to build a destination in Brook Park, Ohio, which will still be the home of the Cleveland Browns, but we can also probably, you know, facilitate doing something and administer another project right on the lakefront.
All right, Ed, we appreciate you coming on. I know you said we're at the 50-yard line here. We're very, very interested to see how you get from there. Need a few more first downs before we can feel real comfortable about this drive, Ed. I thank you for coming on.
Not a problem. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Mayor Ed Orcutt. There you go. There you go. Got to hit the thing. Boy,
Did that surprise you that he said...
No.
That's where they're at. Because people made it sound like yesterday it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I think, well, he's not going to say anything until it's all done. To me, the mayor, maybe he felt that he had to talk tough yesterday. Mayor of Cleveland, Mayor Bibb, had to talk tough yesterday to support some constituents or anything like that. I feel that this is something that both sides have probably wanted. I mean, Blaine Griffin, the city council president, has been open to deals and has been seemingly pretty accommodating here throughout this entire process. I mean, to the point where it's like, well, is the mayor actually himself doing any of this, or is this just on Blaine Griffin? Because every time I saw it up until yesterday, it was like you had to chase down the mayor to get him, but Blaine Griffin was right there. And so to hear the mayor of Brook Park say that, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Because I do think that the Haslams are going to get what they want. And you've brought it up yourself. It's not just some civic thing. I mean, it's a money-making enterprise. Let's not be crazy. I'm not going to argue with business people being business people. But at the same time, I do think this is something that I think the city wants. Because you have an opportunity. Now, the opportunity we get very cynical about. Because they've had many opportunities before, and many mayors before, and many mayors before, and messed that up. As far as opportunity is concerned. And you have an opportunity here with a mayor that... I mean, quite frankly, it's my personal opinion. I think that this is a stepping stone for him. And I don't know if he's going to be the one in charge of that when it comes down to it. Because we're talking about a stadium that we are going to be using at least for the next 4 years. And then after that, then you begin the process of tearing down that stadium and building whatever infrastructure or whatever retail, living, business, whatever you want to think about on that. Okay, well, that's a long-term deal. That's a long plan that has to play out. Now, I know that no mayor is probably going to be around for 20 years all the time all of a sudden, so that's maybe a little bit unfair to him, but I got to look at this and go, who's the next person that's going to be here that's going to make sure all that happens? Because it's a plan right now. That's a good plan, but it's the best laid plan. Join us to talk about all that right now. The man who broke the story on 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, premier jewelry store. Daryl, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Daryl, I think I'm going to kind of leave it to you and Tone here. Because
you've had enough of me.
I've picked my own fights this morning, honestly. But with you guys, Daryl, you were talking tough yesterday on the internet, man. I'm like, boy, he's getting spicy. Lord Almighty, my friend. I'll just say this: I've received several emails from residents. I've seen on both sides of this. I try to be respectful of it. I really do think that both sides ultimately got what they wanted or are going to get what they want. Yep. I really do not believe, it's my personal opinion, I don't believe that the city really wanted the Browns downtown anymore with the stadium.
Correct.
It's just my opinion. I do think that the mayor has to come out and talk tough for his constituency, but I don't believe, it's probably best for you. I'm the one who rebuilt the city after the Browns left, is what he could say.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think it's probably for the best for both parties, but I know that you were pretty upset with what you were hearing yesterday, so I'm going to let you take it away, my friend.
I just don't have the time or patience for performance art, and that's all that press conference from the mayor was yesterday.
Wait a minute. You talk to me every single day.
That's what this
That's
what we do.
Everything I say is a performance.
Well, when you're talking about major investments and things like that, I don't think you get to clutch your pearls when I just don't get the impression that the mayor negotiated in as good a faith as he claims to have negotiated. And, I mean, the offer that he gave the Browns, because the Browns were very clear in what the needs were for the existing building, and the offer that was presented in August there clearly did not meet those needs. And I'm with you, Ken. I'm of the opinion that that was intentional. He saw where it was going. Look, the moment it came out in February that the Browns had this purchase agreement in place for 176 acres in land in Brook Park, we all knew where this story was going to end. So, he gets an Oscar for the press conference yesterday. He got to upstage the Browns making the announcement themselves. He got to upstage Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. So, congratulations to Mayor Bibb once again doing what he does best and making it all about him.
Yeah, Daryl, I just didn't see a real reason to be that upset yesterday. I think this is going to be the best possible solution for two different areas, and we're going to get a world-class facility out of it. I didn't understand necessarily all the hand-wringing there.
Well, I don't either because, I mean, the airport's in the – this thing's right across the street from the airport, literally. Well, okay, maybe the railroad tracks, but they're staying in the county. So that's why I don't understand the angst from the county executives too. Aside from the financials surrounding the project, but the team is not leaving. Stop acting like the team is leaving. There are a ton of NFL teams that do not play in their cities. The Jets and Giants don't play in the city of New York, let alone the state of New York. They play in New Jersey. The 49ers play an hour outside San Francisco in Santa Clara. If the Browns did that, they would have moved to Canton. The Commanders don't play in the nation's capital. They play in Landover, Maryland. The New England Patriots don't play in Boston. They're all the way out in the middle of nowhere in Foxborough. The Bills, they don't play in Buffalo. They play in Orchard Park, about 40, 50 minutes from downtown Buffalo. The Chargers and Rams aren't in L.A. They're in Inglewood. So the Cowboys, 40 minutes outside Dallas. So I don't understand the performance art about the Brook Park Browns. They're no longer the Cleveland Browns. They're the Brook Park. Give me a break. I mean, the team is still staying here. Yes, it's going to cost money. Yes, it's going to cost fans more money, but this is the modern business of the NFL, too. And, the lakefront was not a good spot the opening of that stadium in 1999, it was an ill-conceived project. It was rushed. It wasn't done well. The stadium is not holding up, unlike Progressive Field and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. The reason the lives of those buildings have been extended is, well, that project was mulled over for years and years and years. And basically, when the Browns left in 1995, or I should say in early 1996 officially, you know, there was just this big rush job by all the politicians and everyone involved to just hurry up and slap a stadium together. Don't spend more than 100, and I think it was like $85 million or something like that. Don't spend a penny above that. And then, you know, the team has to be on the field as soon as possible. And obviously, we all remember what a train wreck, you know, establishing this expansion version of the Browns was in many regards, both on the field, off the field, behind the scenes, and the stadium. So the team is staying in Northeast Ohio, people. It's staying in Cuyahoga County. Potential $3.8 billion construction project going to go next to another $3 billion construction project in the airport, which is going to coincide with that Dan Gilbert's bedrock wants to invest in the riverfront. And then now the possibilities of what you can do on the lakefront without that stadium being in the way, next to the Science Center and the Rock Hall, open up immensely. So, you know, there's a lot of positives to this yesterday other than just boo-hoo, the Browns are leaving downtown Cleveland and shame on them.
All right, Daryl, that's enough of the serious stuff here. What'd you think of the Guardians last night? Where were you at?
Oh, man, I was in my living room. That is an all-time game, Ken. Dad, my dad was at the game last night. He called me on the way, and he's like, hey, you going to the game? And I'm like, yeah, I don't get to cover baseball. I'm covering football in this town right now. But you have fun. So I'm glad my dad got to see it. He got to see an all-time great game in not just Cleveland baseball history, but I think Major League history. I just think that was an all-time classic. Class A giving up the homers to Judge and Stanton, which, okay, I know it's Judge and Stanton, but we're all expecting that Class A is going to do what he's done the whole season.
I was shocked. Daryl, I said, I've seen so many bad things and a few good things, but I've seen so many bad things in 38 years. I go, this is as bad as I've ever felt. I can't shake this. I cannot believe this. I was despondent in my office when he hit that home run, to the point where when Stanton hit the home run to go ahead, I felt like they were already down.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
And then they were down to their last out.
Uh-huh.
They get the hit, and then John Kenzie comes up and, you know, put one in the bleachers. Okay, we get some free baseball. And then it's like, okay, is this Game 7 of the World Series all over again? And take your pick of which Game 7 you think you want to reference there, right? And then they're able to get through the top of the 10th and, you know, get to the bottom of the 10th. And I thought that, you know, David Fry was going to do something. I didn't think he was going to put one in the bleachers either. But, man, that is an all-time great game. It rivals Tony Pena's walk-off against the Boston Red Sox.
Absolutely.
In the Division Series.
Yep.
In extras. You know, I know people want to point to Rajit, but they didn't win the game. Like, that's, and I feel bad saying that. Like, as great of a home run as that was, Game 7 of the World Series, bottom eight, they didn't win the game. They didn't win the series. And it, so the fact that they won the game tonight, or I should say last night, rather, you know, with those home runs, I'd probably have to put that right behind Pena's for playoff wins. I mean, Sandy Alomar against the Yankees back in 97, you got to put that one in the top three as well. So those are my top three homer win games for the Guardians/former Indians.
It's a great list. And Daryl, I tweeted last night to power rank just the moments of last night because you needed so much to happen. And the reality is, what makes this so awesome is how horrible we felt for about, what, a half hour?
Yes.
45 minutes? That was as low as a Cleveland sports fan, and we've had low moments. We should know. That's as low as I felt. That felt like an OIC, which I hate. I thought when we won the title in 2016, that was going to end that forever. But nope, I felt right back there. It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Heart was ripped out. And then that is what made it so special, is that they had to overcome all of that. And now you're in the damn series.
Yeah, and how about the play by Andres Jimenez,
yes,
and then Josh Naylor by, like, I think, Dust keeping the foot on the bag long enough to record that out. I you're right. There's just so many twists and turns. They finally got five innings out of a starter. Thank goodness gracious, right? Which had not happened in this postseason. You're right. I mean, there were so many twists and turns in that game, and it was it felt like it took a week to play because there was so much going on in that game. But that's the beauty of playoff baseball. That's what it's all about, and that's what makes this time of year so special, especially if your team is on the field playing.
Daryl, thank you for the time.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Guardians win last night, and somebody had a question, or really a statement. Quote, I don't know how anyone can look at either the Guardians or the Yankees and think, quote, I'm a fan of both. If you like one of them, you've got to hate the other. At least sports hate, in parentheses. It's time to pick a side. I know what side I'm on. Owen, put that out there.
Yeah,
Owen is right.
I know what side I'm on.
Yeah, Owen is on the Guardians side. I think the other two guys in this room are on the Guardians side. Where's your Yankee stuff at over there?
I didn't bring it today.
I want you to bring your Yankee stuff and we can set it on fire. It's time for you to step up and be a man of principle, and a man of good standing. And understand that this charade that you've been playing with yourself, with your emotions, is over. You need to step right on in. The Guardians need all the fans that they can get. There will be plenty of front runners, plenty of shallow people who will be Yankees fans in the future, Mitch. They don't need you. It's time for you to step in here after what you saw last night. I'm serious. I want you to bring your Yankee stuff in here. I want you to set it on fire.
It probably sounds like a fire hazard in this small studio.
Well, we're not
going to
bring
here.
It inside. I'll set it on fire out in the street, and then I'll deal with the police. I mean, I guess I'm not totally serious. I don't know if I can go starting a fire. I think Keith would.
Knowing you, I feel like you'd convince yourself you're serious.
I would definitely. How much stuff do you have?
About like four hats.
No, that's
and
not
a jersey.
What's the jersey? Whose jersey?
It's just a blank pinstripe jersey.
Oh, we that's can it? Do that in a trash can.
I don't do jerseys with names usually.
Well, that's a whole different thing. But yeah, we can do that in a waste paper basket.
I just feel like
how much was the jersey?
Yesterday had to be like an awakening of sorts, right, Mitch? Like yesterday, if there was ever going to be a breakthrough,
yes.
If you left that game without an emotion, one way or another, like the visceral reaction that you felt after the game should tell you all you need to know about how to proceed going forward.
Yeah.
If you were in the dumps yesterday, then you're a Yankee fan forever.
No.
If you were elated, then you have to be a Guardians fan forever.
Yeah.
There's no looking back from this
you can't
point
share
forward.
It,
and this is the emotional journey that I was going to get to you guys, because I posted on my X page, might be time to cut the cord. And let me explain. The eighth inning home runs between Judge and Stanton were two home runs that were the worst possible case scenarios for all Guardians fans. So I figured, okay, just make sure it doesn't happen. And then it does for Judge. Make sure it doesn't happen for Stanton. And of course it does, after he fouls off all those fastballs and he gets a hanging slider or whatever. So when those happen, I felt like I got punched in the gut and the groin, one and two. But when you get that home run from Noel, which I didn't even see until two pitches until it actually happened, because I turned the game off, like you said, and then went back to it like, oh, they got a runner on second. Let me check it. And then boom, you're back in it. Then you go over to the 10th inning where you have all the things happen at the top. Avila striking out Judge. The play from Jimenez. You get that big stripe out on Volpe. And then you go to the bottom of the 10th inning.
All right, you're doing a lot of talking. Tell me, what are you doing here? Come on.
I'm trying to explain this emotional process that I went through that
this
was so powerful.
This is too long of an emotional process.
That was
you're
so
a grown
powerful.
Man. You're a taxpayer. Let's go.
That was so powerful, I think it actually has convinced me to really reconsider my standing on this.
He's reconsidering. He's thinking about it. He's mulling it over. He's dwelling
and I,
on
and
it.
I think it's time to make the leap.
Time to make the leap to what?
Making the leap to
thinking about
committing
it some more.
To a full-time team, no reservations.
Then you gotta get
100%.
Rid of all the Yankee stuff.
You gotta do a ceremonial burning. You do.
I don't know if we can burn it.
Or
why can't we burn
Mitch,
it?
Mitch, after
that's
the show
clothing
today.
And hats, man. Someone else has got to be wearing that. Someone else can wear that.
After
you don't
the
be
show
wasteful.
Today, Mitch,
you guys
we're going
always
over.
Do that stuff. I love that. That's the best thing.
How about
guys
shoes and clothes for kids? Do we want to make it a charitable thing? Bring it in because they'll take it. They certainly will. We've got a great relationship with them.
Actually, they don't. They take new things. They do not take previously worn things.
I was going to say, what kid's going to wear 2X?
We're back to burning.
Yeah, we're back to burning it.
I don't think we can.
Oh, I can.
Why can't I burn your things? I can burn a lot of things.
It's wasteful.
I've seen Ken waste more with less in a burning ceremony.
Setting Yankee stuff on fire is wasteful?
That is clothing and headwear that good people could be wearing out in the street, out anywhere.
It'll keep you warm.
Not saying it keeps you warm. I'm not saying it keeps you warm even in the winter, but I'm saying that somebody can be wearing that, and if we burn it, it's wasting.
I think this is a major league cop out here. If you want to be a Guardians fan, you need to set the soul aflame. You need to be able to move the soul along to the next Lord, or to the next life, not the next Lord, to the next life, and finish this charade of being a Yankee fan while Lima pounds his keyboard over there on the table over there. It's enough. It's enough, Mitch. You have anything over there? I'm sorry. You pounded the keyboard. I didn't know what was going on.
No, we're trying to work on some stuff behind the scenes here while you're yelling at young Mitch.
Well, I
agree. I'm the one that started the thing on it. Yeah. It was a moment for me last night where I went, Mitch and I have an obvious age gap. It's 15 years between us, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've felt like I'm closer to my own children Mitch is closer to my children's age than he is to my age, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things where I felt like I was fathering Mitch to sort. He doesn't need that. He's got Big Gear. Big Gear will take care of all of that for him. What it was for me was a big brother moment. I've seen things, man. I want you to come over to this side, Mitch.
Yeah, it's time.
That's all I want. I want what's best for you here.
We only
it's time
this.
To be over here.
We're not busting your stones to bust your stones. We actually want you to be a man.
About you the and concern I don't want is, you to cheer for that horrible, horrible team.
Yeah.
I didn't cheer for him last night, and I'm not cheering for them for the rest of the series.
I don't want to hear the rest of the series. I want to hear it forever.
This, I need you to give up on him,
Mitch.
It's time.
We all experimented at one time, buddy. Like, I thought about it myself. When they traded CeCe, I'll admit it. I was fit to be tied. I was sick. I couldn't do it. We've all been there, man. We've all been young. We've all thought crazy things. Okay? It's time. It's time for you to be a grown man and be a man of principle. Be somebody your father can be proud of. And come over to this side. I'm not going to say it again. If not, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Like I haven't already. I'm going to make your life a living hell.
You beat me by 1 second.
It's time, Mitch. You know damn well if they win this series, the Yankees win this series, you aren't going to be able to celebrate if they go on and they win the World Series.
Why would I possibly celebrate in this studio or anywhere in the city with you guys lurking around?
It doesn't matter. That right there is the entire point. That right there is it. Be a person of principle. Be a man that stands for something. Not just this dual Yankee citizenship that you have going on. Be somebody. All right, coming up next, Nathan Zagura. He's somebody. We'll talk Browns with him. And Nick Chubb with him. Talk about all that. And 9:20, guys. 9:20. Is it okay if you left early last night? Getting a lot of reports after the double play. A lot of people were headed for the exits. And we get you ready for game 4 coming up on The Fan. Extend Technologies in Broadview Heights. They're getting you ready for all the big events coming up because you want to watch it with the very best. And you want to be able to watch multiple things at once. Maybe you want to watch 2 things at once or 3 things at once or 4 things at once. You can do it all. With Extend Technologies in Broadview Heights, folks, it is possible when you go there and you see what they can do for you. You can watch up to 12 things at once if you want to. Now, I've told you before, the usual thing is about 4 things. And then you're not really watching the sports anymore because there's just too many things. But if you want to see 12, if you want to put me to the test, you can do so with Extend Technologies. They can put 12 things on one screen for you so you're not messing with a myriad of different cords in the back.
And they make it so easy to control it and then... You got home automation, so you can control all the technology, the 12 viewing.